From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of May, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll check in with Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services to see what the agricultural energy sector has been up to for the last several days. Along the way, we'll hear from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota with updates of conditions in their regions. It's soggy pretty much everywhere, although Iowa and Minnesota have been able to substantially put in more crop in the last week than other places. And speaking of that, as we wrap up our time together, we'll get a forecast from Don Day 2 at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, it's a Tuesday afternoon. It's the 9th day of May. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, so tell me just a little bit about what happened in Chicago today. Soybeans had a turnaround Tuesday.
Soybeans did have a turnaround Tuesday. We were sort of left in the dust with our corn today, but basically a couple things are happening. The Brazilian farmers are not selling their beans, and there's been interest out of the Pacific Northwest on some more beans going there, and talk of a few cargoes sold that way. The bean meal was up substantially here today. Times was over $5 higher. There's talk of a little better feeding because there might be some pork deal working with China here that we might be feeding some more meal that way. So that was another good thing. And just the funds were a little more apprehensive. You know, our planting rate on the beans hasn't been near as much. They were planting corn last week out west, and the beans didn't move along that way. And we're looking also that maybe a few more beans going out, and they might raise the exports a little bit on the report on Wednesday.
Soybeans not coming out of South America. In particular, farmers there not selling puzzles me a bit. I don't recall that they have a lot of storage. Why would this be the case?
Well, they got down to where they were fairly cheap. Now, they have seen the Brazilian real make a little bit of a turnaround there and whatever, but all in all, they just have been hanging a little tight because they just didn't think they were getting what they should out of them. And I don't know, you know, if you can explain why a farmer holds grain sometimes. Why?
I understand. Tomorrow, USDA will release its first real look in the world agricultural supply demand estimates due out at 11 o'clock Central. Follow them on Twitter at Commodity Week. Our website, willag.org. At the brand new crop year, what are our expectations?
Well, you know, the estimates for the ending stocks on wheat, so 1.162, the corn 2.326. That was a 2.32 even back in the April USDA. The soybeans 438 million, and that was 445 back last report. So, you know, that's one of the things that we're looking at. This will be the first time we sort of look at what they're projecting. I think it's going to still be pretty much the baseline numbers we saw before, not enough to change, and our, you know, planting progress is moving along pretty close to the five-year average, so not seeing, look, we'll see a lot difference on stuff like that. So I think it's going to be sort of a benign report, but there could be a little upping of the bean exports and a little more corn for ethanol.
We'll find out then, and we'll talk with you again on Thursday afternoon for Commodity Week to see how it all went.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of Sunday, across the 18 corn planting states, 47% of the crop had been put into the ground. On average, that number is 52%. Over the last 5 years, 15% of the crop has emerged, 19% is the rolling five-year average for corn. 14% of the soybeans have been sown, 17% is the rolling five-year average, 50% of of the winter wheat has headed 46% as the rolling five-year average. It is in 43% good, 10% excellent condition. That's a change from 45% good and 9% excellent last week. And last year, the crop was 51% good at this time and 11% excellent. Now, here are the state statisticians from four of the five top corn-producing states in the nation with updates from their regions.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region. Drier conditions as the week progressed allowed farmers to plant corn and soybeans during the week ending May 7, 2017. Statewide, there were 3.4 days rated suitable for fieldwork. However, below normal temperatures have slowed the emergence of crops. Southwest and South Central districts reported 25% or more surplus subsoil moisture. Almost one quarter of the state's corn acreage was planted this past week. 52% of the corn crop has been planted, remaining over a week behind last year and slightly behind the five-year average. Northeast Iowa has the smallest percentage of corn planted at 35%, while Central Iowa has the most planted at 65%. 7% of the corn has emerged 6 days behind last year and 4 days behind average. 9% of the soybean acreage has been planted, 6 days behind last year, and 2 days behind average. Planting of the oat crop is nearing completion. The season's first oat condition was rated 1% poor, 23% fair, and 76% good to excellent. The first hay condition of the season rating was 1% poor, 17% fair, and 82% good to excellent. Pasture condition was rated 79% good to excellent, an increase of 3 percentage points from the previous week. Livestock conditions were reported as normal, and feedlot conditions improved from the previous week. This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cool and wet across most of Illinois. Temperatures range from 5 to 8 degrees below normal, and rainfall totals range from 6 tenths of an inch to 3 6/10 of an inch for the week. Western and northwestern areas had below normal rainfall, but the rest of the state was wetter than average. There is still some ponding and flooding in fields, and there was an average of less than 1 day suitable for field work around the state last week. Field work activities were very limited, but corn planting did inch ahead to 65% finished, compared to 76% 1 year ago, and 63% for the five-year average. 29% of corn acres have emerged, compared to 32% normally. Soybean planting is now 14% complete, compared to 16% normally. 1% of acres have emerged, compared to 3% normally. The winter wheat crop is now 78% headed, compared to 60% last year and 37% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 13% very poor to poor, 27% of acres are fair, and 60% are good to excellent. In other crops, 4% of sorghum acres are planted, 13% of the first cutting of alfalfa hay is finished, and 11% of other hay acres have been cut. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota farmers took advantage of the 3.9 days suitable for field work during the week. Dry conditions toward the end of the week allowed for significant planting progress. Minnesota's spring wheat planting advanced to 6 days ahead of the five-year average pace to 65% complete, but remained behind last year's 84% complete. The oat planting progress advanced 20 percentage points to 58% planted. Barley planting progress was 50% planted, with 7% of the acreage emerged. Corn planting was 35% completed, that's 16 days behind last year and 8 days behind average. Scattered soybean and sunflower planting were reported. Potatoes at 49% planted remained behind last year and the average. Sugar beet planting advanced to 8 days ahead of the average to reach 78% complete. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Very little planting progress was made this week due to the chilly and wet weather. Much of the corn and soybeans that have emerged are yellow or are underwater from localized flooding, especially in low-lying areas. Farmers are concerned that the cold temperatures along with the wet weather may cause germination failure and have begun purchasing more seed to replant. The cooler temperatures have slowed emergence for both crops. Winter wheat has also suffered some from the weather conditions, with some fields reported to be flattened by wind. It's unclear if there is any permanent damage to the wheat fields. Multiple storms brought below average temperatures and more heavy rainfall. Average temperatures ranged from 45 to 58 degrees, and from 2 to 11 degrees below normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 1.09 to 5.06 inches. Corn was 51% planted, compared to 37% last year and 43% five-year average. Corn was 18% emerged this week, compared to 13% last year and 16% five-year average. Soybeans were 19% planted, compared to 10% last year and 17% five-year average. Winter wheat jointed was 81% complete, compared to 87% last year and 76% five-year average. Winter wheat was 46% headed, compared to 30% last year, 23% five-year average. Farmers mostly worked indoors on equipment maintenance activities, hauled grain, and visited FSA offices. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks go to the USDA NAS state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You know, here in our part of the world, we've had awfully good yields for both corn and soybeans for several years in a row. Gary Schnitke wondered about that and whether there was really something there that producers might hang their hat on as it relates to their balance sheets and their finances. He decided to take a look at some of those numbers and explore really what's been happening. And the other part of that is very close here, at least to Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. Piatt County was one of the few counties that didn't pick up an ARC County payment last year. And that in large part was because their yields were so good. So I'm assuming that's a good portion of the reason you decided, Gary, to explore this topic.
Yeah, so we just looked since 2012 what the average yield for counties were above their trend yield. And Piatt County had a 26 bushel average above trend. So if we average 2013, 14, 15, and 16, they on average have 26 bushels above trend. And so that's reason why, one, they didn't get ARC payments, and two, that obviously has been good for income, having above average yields. And here in Illinois, we've had above average yields for both corn and soybeans since 2012.
Do we think there is a technological reason behind that? Or some other reason.
So the interesting thing about that is if you look at Illinois, we've been above trend for both corn and soybeans, and Iowa, northern and central part, has been predominantly at trend. So, you know, you think about that a little bit, and Iowa's probably at trend. There's probably nothing technological going on because Iowa would experience the same thing that Illinois does. So it's probably, we've had good growing conditions, much better growing conditions in Iowa since 2012.
So the bottom line in this case is don't bet the farm on a higher yield than you've had over the past several years.
Yeah, so, and that has been a great help for Illinois and Eastern Corn Belt farmers in particular. We've had above average yields. Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota have not. So, you know, they have not had as good as incomes as Illinois farmers. And, you know, if those things move around, so don't bet on those high above average yields every year.
And the Federal Reserve indicates this shows up in the health financially of those farmers in the western part of the Corn Belt.
Yep, western Corn Belt generally has had more stress than the eastern Corn Belt. And for Illinois farmers, just think about having the prices we've had and average yields, and that would be a much bigger hit to incomes than we have had in the past year or so.
So these are listed as your three takeaway thoughts. Don't depend on the higher yields. They're not technologically different. And there is a split from the east to the west.
Yep. And so the last year is a fairly good example of that. We had above average yields. Trend or U.S. national yield was above average. We had low prices. Take a situation where you're where Illinois gets average yields, Iowa gets above average yields, and you have a 350 price and 20 bushels less corn yield, and you have much lower income.
Gary, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can read more from him on this subject on the Farm Doc Daily website. You're going to look for an article that's entitled Areas of Above and Below Trend Yields in the Corn Belt. Let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energy sector. As we do each and every Tuesday, we're joined by Stephen Platt once a month. He's at Archer Financial Services to discuss this topic. Thanks, Stephen, for being with us. Hope things are well there in Chicago.
Well, they sure are. Always exciting here.
That's always the case. I want to talk a little bit about crude oil and the move lower it's had over the last month. It's dropped pretty precipitously.
Well, we've seen some of the factors that we brought up as some caution, lending caution to the market last month, come into effect as Libyan production improved. In addition, we saw continued increases in U.S. production. EIA did increase their forecast for U.S. production this year by as much as 800,000 barrels here just today. So there is some influences here that has caused some concern. Another factor has been the fact that inventories remain high and have not seen any sharp reduction in their levels here as we move through the month. Gasoline demand has also been weak. Those factors have all contributed to a weak complex, not only in flat prices, but also in the spreads and cracks. On a flat price basis, crude has declined from as high as 54 a month ago to as low as 46. We've seen gasoline take off as much as 26 cents, and the heating oil also has dropped by 21 cents here during that time period. Certainly, some of the largest declines we've seen here since really back in August of 2016, and pretty much levels that we saw during that time period when the market really was pretty disheartened here in terms of any potential production agreement. We finally got that production agreement at the end of 2016. And now we are starting to see some signs that these lower prices are hardening the position of producers. And I think that will actually lend support to the market as we move through the remainder of this month. And would not be surprised to see the market actually work itself back toward that $50 area. Some factors that probably will play a role is that Saudi Arabia really has committed themselves to extending the agreement. I think there's a real strong case for them to basically see that this agreement take hold as we move into the second half of this year, in that they do have this initial public offering of Aramco taking place at the beginning of next year. So they certainly have a strong financial interest, see crude prices in a strong light in terms of the valuation of that IPO. Another factor I think will be the demand side. I think there's still a lot of evidence that we are seeing the global economy come out of some of the recession or, you know, at least sluggish growth period. And that also will help demand. And the other factor is we have started to see U.S. Inventory levels start to come down. And that probably could come out in the DOE report tomorrow.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Stephen Platt. He's with Archer Financial Services. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this 9th day of May. I'm UofI Extension's Tug Gleason. Don Day is here from Day Weather. I take it you've had some better conditions and more sunshine out in your part of the world. Tell me about that and then what we can expect.
Well, yeah, some very warm weather moved into the western plain states. The same areas that were hit with blizzard conditions a little more than 10 days ago had 70 and 80 degree temperatures. That has since changed, and areas of showers and thunderstorms and cooler, wet weather has moved into the region. Big hailstorm yesterday in the Denver metro area. And now we're going to see moisture with this system coming out of the desert southwest, spread into the Midwest and Corn Belt. So over the coming days, and really over the next 10 days, looks like very typical spring across most of the nation. We're going to see some rains again in many of the areas that got rain last week. Missouri, portions of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, some of those southern plains areas, Kansas, Oklahoma, about ready to get more wet, as well as many areas of Texas. One area that did get some needed rain was the southeast states, but they're going to miss out. Looks like the Carolinas, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, those areas are going to be a bit drier.
We'd like temperatures to be a little higher across the whole of the Corn Belt, some of the corn that's in the ground, not only suffering from the wet weather, but cool temperatures haven't been really good on it either.
Yeah, you know, there's really nothing really warm coming. We do see a situation here for probably up to May 20, May 21st or so, where more often than not, it's going to be frequently wet. There'll be some warm days in between, but nothing is setting up yet to give us consistently warmer, drier weather for a while. So it may be a bit frustrating for some folks here over the next couple of weeks before things straighten out at the end of the month.
We have yet to talk about Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska. Conditions there, please?
Well, both of those states, especially Nebraska, has gotten more wet here recently. And that area of the country is likely going to be getting more wet. Iowa's an area where the rain has definitely been more prevalent in the southern counties of the state, and that's what we're going to see again with I-80 sort of being the dividing line.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking time with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming, just one of five meteorologists that join us each and every week here on the Closing Market Report. If you'd like to hear them, you can always do that off our website at willag.org. Just look for the Weather tab. It's either on the right-hand side of the page. That's possibly if you're on a desktop or maybe on a tablet. Otherwise, scroll all the way to the bottom and you'll find it. You'll also find a whole series of other things there as well. You can listen to our programming, remember, anytime you'd like. You can listen to it off the website directly, willag.org. You can use iTunes. You can use Google Play. Some of you may like Stitcher. There are others that will be using the NPR One app. I think that's a great way to do it. And all you have to do is search for either the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. And then you could favorite them and make them appear in your NPR One app all of the time. Thanks so much for listening. Be safe out there as you begin the planting season again. Don't get out too early. It's better to wait for those soil conditions to get to the point where you can really move as opposed to trying to mud in the crop. I know that's what Emerson Nafziger would say, at least at this date. A bit later in the month, he might change his mind, but not right now. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason.